All right, Church, thank you for checking in. I'm following up on yesterday's post about work, about the Protestant work ethic. This is a thing that has been lost, generally lost on our society, on our church over the past century or so. But the Protestant work ethic is what built our country in the first place. It is called the Protestant work ethic because it was developed by Protestant Christians who had their Bibles open and were reading their scriptures and learning how to do their job for the glory of God in a way that would bless their community and their neighborhood. And they wanted to do these things because God's word says to do these things. They wanted to do these things because they are good and right, is loving towards your neighbor, and so on. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that says you should work quietly. You should aspire to work with your hands, to work quietly. Take care of your own business, mind your own business, and not be dependent on others, on outsiders, and just be able to take care of your business. That, of course, was written to a church in Thessalonica. It was not written to an individual. It was written to a church. You're not going to be able to be independent all by yourself. That's kind of a false god, maybe, of America or something. I can just be purely independent, just me. And that's not a Christian principle to have. But the idea of an independent community that takes care of itself, that looks after each other, cares for each other, while also still being welcoming to others, well, that's Christianity. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. That's the gospel message. That's what Jesus did. He said, we're a community. We're gathered under the cross. We're humbly declaring Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And my neighbors right beside me saying the same thing, that puts us in a community, a humble community, and we're going to look after each other. We're going to meet each other's needs. And the early church was very good at this, and there have been times and places in Christian and in church history where the church was really good at this. The pilgrims, which I have pointed out a few times in this series of videos on where do we go from here and what went wrong, the pilgrims that came here in 1620, 402 years ago, they had to figure this out as well. They came here. There were no jobs. They didn't come here looking for a job, or now they were settled in, trying to find a job or something. No, they had to go make it. They had to do it themselves. If they needed shoes, they had to make their shoes. They needed clothes. They needed food. They needed something. They had to make it. They had to make their own everything. They had to learn how to be blacksmiths, how to build a forge, how to mine metal, how to make stuff out of it, plows and guns and whatever else they might need. And they did, and they figured it out. And they did it with what we call the Protestant work ethic. The idea being that God has created this world and put us in this world for his glory, to be his witnesses, and to go figure things out, use the skills he's given us, to be a blessing to our neighbors, to be successful, to produce and create good products, good services for the good of our neighborhoods and our communities. And this is what we need. We need to rebuild this, and we need to start with the current generation, and we need to raise the future generations to do this. So your current position right now, you might be, I'm kind of speaking on the level of an adult here. You're an adult. You already have a job. I sure hope you do. You have a job. You're using your skills to create wealth. You're working for a company, or you're working for yourself, or you're starting your own company. Whatever you're doing, you're exchanging skills and time for money. That's your job. Well, ask yourself this. Do a self-analysis and say, under God, am I using my skills and my time to make money for the glory of God? Is the thing I'm pouring my time and skills into, is this good for my neighbor in Jesus' name? Does this somehow fulfill my calling that God's made me for? He's made you for a purpose. You know this, right? He made you for a purpose. And your purpose is bigger than go work at some company and make money so that you can survive. Your purpose is bigger than that under God. Your company, I don't know. If you work for some mega corporation, they probably don't care a lick about you. They just want you, that you have some skills and some time, and they give you money and you do that. Well, what if we started rethinking how we thought about work and said, you know what, my work, of course it needs to pay. It needs to pay you enough money to live. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot right with that. You work hard, you deserve to be paid. You do good work, you deserve to be paid a lot. You should be very successful. And your salary and whatever should be reflective of your skill and dedication that you bring to the job. But I think there's another missing ingredient. And we need to think more than just how I make my money. We need to think how I use my time and my energy and my skills. How do you use your time, energy, and skills? Is what you're doing a blessing to your community? So that we can be, like Jesus said, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Do your good works in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Do they notice this? Hey, these Christian people are good for the community. It's better off. These are things we need to think through. There might be a time and place for you to quit your job and get a job at some local company or start your own. This isn't for everybody. There's no condemnation. Look, if you work for Amazon, and a lot of people do, it's a big employer around here, or some other gigantic mega corporation, globalist corporation, it's not wrong for Christians to work there and do a good job for the glory of God, earn your paycheck, and take care of your family. It's not sinful. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to be a school teacher at a public government-run school. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. But you do need to be doing it for the glory of God and not just for the paycheck. And you really ought to, and this would apply to anybody, you really ought to do an inventory of yourself, of what you're doing, and say, am I investing all my time and my energy and my skills into this company? Is there a better way? You're going to use your 8 hours a day of a full-time job. You're going to use that 8 hours to do something. You have skills. You're going to use those skills to do something. You have a certain amount of energy, certain life expectancy. You're going to spend that time doing something. So take an honest inventory of yourself and say, is what I'm doing fulfilling God's purpose or not? Or am I just going through the motions and getting paid because I need a job? And I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if there's an opportunity, or you can create your own opportunity to use that same 8 hour block of time, that same skill set that you've already got, an energy level that you already have, and use that block of time, skill, and energy to do something that still pays the bills, you're gonna have to pay the bills, pays the bills and blesses my community in some tangible way, a more meaningful way, and lets me be the man God made me to be, or the woman in your case, whatever. Do a little inventory of where you stand in that regard, and look around and say, is there a different company I could work at? Or is there a way I could start my own company? Could I start my own school? Could I start my own independent practice or whatever that I could bless the community better if I did that? So some of the things we've talked about lately, among these, it's always going to weigh on you, is get out of debt. If you're in debt, now you're trapped. Now you have to get a job that pays a certain amount of money just to keep up with your debt. And so you have become a debt slave. A wage slave, whatever you want to call it. It says you have to get a job and you're stuck at this company because it's the only one that you can afford your lifestyle to keep working at it. So that locks you in and now you're stuck. So get out of debt. Disentangle yourself from all these sorts of trappings that would hold you back. Be set free, right? You've been bought at a price. Therefore, do not become enslaved to men. We talked about this in our sermon series. You've been bought with a price. Don't make yourself a slave. So get free. Make yourself free from debt, free from any of those other sorts of trappings. And then do an honest inventory and say, hey, how can I use my freedom, my skills, and my time to take care of my family and take care of the community? Do that. And then raise your children to do the same. And if possible, raise your children to stay in the neighborhood, so you can pass along family generational blessings to your children and grandchildren, and so that they can use their time, energy, and skills to bless their families and the community and rebuild our little small town communities. This is the kind of thing that built America. It was not political per se. It has political ramifications, absolutely. But it doesn't have to. Our solutions are not always going to be political. Our solutions are going to have to be holistic from the ground up. And if we look at this scripturally, and we read what the scriptures say, it comes away very clearly. And this is why the founding of America was so heavily Christian influenced. It was because we were a bunch of small town. They called us colonies and commonwealths and things, but it was small independent communities taking care of their own business. And when the British were coming along telling them they had to do this and that, they said, no, we're quite capable of governing ourselves. We don't need you. We have learned the 1 Thessalonians 4:11 principle that we are not dependent on you. And so since we're not dependent on you, you can't bait us into these trappings. We're not going to do it. We're just going to govern ourselves. Our small town community, we can hire a sheriff. We have churches that are preaching righteousness in the name of Jesus. We don't need Britain controlling us. That was their mindset. And they were right. They didn't need any of this heavy-handed control because they were independent. They could make their own products, take care of their own business, look after their own neighborhoods, and do it in their local communities. This is the kind of stuff that we need. This is the mindset that we need. So inventory yourself. Get out of debt. Get out of slavery. Look around, and when I say debt, I mean all debt, your mortgage and everything. I don't just mean credit card debt. That's the worst of it. Get out of that. But your car loans, your personal loans, your equity loans, your mortgages, all these things, they're just trappings. They're just debt. They're things that you have to pay every month or else you're going to get kicked out of your house or whatever. And all those things hold you back from the true generosity that God has made you for. So learn to look at your job as an opportunity to be generous to your community, to offer your skills to your neighborhood, your services, your skills, your products, whatever. And look at it that way. Begin to look at it that way so that you're not dependent on others. And when you're not dependent on others, you are now independent, and therefore you are able to bless others instead of be dependent on them. And if the Christian church in our small town gets better and better at this, we will see a rising tide in our small town. And a rising tide will float all the boats. Everybody would be better off. There'd be more jobs available for people that need to get a job. And there will be an independent spirit and training of children to start new companies and start new jobs. And you will have generational blessings instead of a generational death spiral that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in decline. And we need to be in incline. We need to be going the opposite way. So I believe this is a core part of it. Education is a core part of it. We're going to talk, though, next time about hospitality, about what it means to have hospitality, scripturally speaking. It's a big word that I think is, I think we only understand it very superficially. But when the Bible talks about the gift of hospitality, it is getting at something really powerful and really transformative. So that's what we're going to get into next time. God bless you. I'll see you then.